finally they choose to make sure it's fine. And what do you do?
All right, was there a point in time when Christians, now you're talking about after Christ?
Well,
okay. Well, there are copies of it very shortly. Well, they had access to them. They probably weren't bound together, but they had access to all the copies circulating. Disappear? Well, it really wasn't as confused as it sounds like, and that may be partly my fault, but you can't cover everything in a week. And I think there's a section in, is it which Bible? Where they trace the fact that they're all the way up through someone had the word. There's a chapter in there in which Bible it should answer that for you. But the Waldensians had it here, and it was over in England before the Catholic Church got there with their Bible to pervert it. That Bible was everywhere. The Textus Receptus, the Received Text Bible, sometimes in the Latin, in the Old Latin, for instance, you can trace it all the way through, and it was existing somewhere at all times. So there never was a point where Christianity as a whole didn't have the Word of God, even from the Received Text. Maybe not bound as we have it today, but they had access to all of it.
I keep bringing you back and bringing myself back too to this. What kind of a God do we worship? Abraham is in glory, is he not? The father of the faithful. He didn't have any Bible, did he? No. But God saw to it that Abraham had revealed to him the eternal God. And God used his own methods and ways. Adam and Eve, I believe, are in heaven. Because of that type in the garden where the skins of animals covered them, which was a prototype of the righteousness of Christ, as you know. So before the Bible came into being, God had his own methods and ways of bringing men and women to himself. And there comes in, as it always does, the absolute sovereignty of God. And don't get off balance by harping on that to the exclusion of the responsibility of men, because we're not robos. I can't explain it, I can't harmonize it, God never told me to. He told me to preach it, that's what I'm doing. And when God brought this book together, oh, let me go back, I'll repeat myself. In the early church, there were a group of men, godly men, I don't know where they were, nobody else was either, I guess, but gathered together out of that vast mass of manuscripts, which they had then, 27 manuscripts. How do I know that? Well, because they're in the Bible, Matthew to Revelation. God directed them, I'm certain of this, to choose the manuscripts that were the nearest to the originals and that were practically the very Word of God. Okay. Now, between that time, say 300, 350, whatever it was, to the time of the King James Version is about 1,300 years difference. Where was God? He was there, right there. There was a little group called, I'm going to repeat this again, so you'll get it twice, it won't hurt you at all, called the Waldensians in the Italian Alps. And these men and women were snowed in about 5 or 6 months out of the year. And while they were there, they had scholars, great scholars, who copied carefully, meticulously, perfectly, the manuscripts they had of the Bible. And they began to put their faith in the Bible instead of the Pope. And the Pope, to their little boy, he got mad. And so he sent his legionaries, Roman legionaries, up there to try and dislodge them. And in some cases, he allowed them to go through. And what did they do? They took the Waldensians, men, women, and children, a number of them, and tied them up in knots and threw them down the mountainside to their death. Why? Because they believed the word of God instead of the Pope. All right. Other times, God intervened. And there was a time when the Waldensians threw rocks down upon them and destroyed them. Now, if you were a new evangelical, you would say, now, we shouldn't do that. We should call them together for prayer. Bless their little cotton-picking hearts. So, when the Reformation came, well, no, I'll go back a little bit. They were hauled up into court, these Waldensians. And when they were given their time in court, what did they do? They quoted chapters of the Bible by heart, and books of the Bible to prove their point that they weren't going to give in to men or to the Pope or anybody else except God. And God used that little nation to keep his word. Now, when the Reformation came, the scholars of the Waldensians went across the Alps to Geneva, and they compared their manuscripts with the ones that Luther and Calvin were using, and they found them to be almost identical. That's God! What kind of a God do you worship? I'm asking that again.
All right. If you ask me, it's the same one that gave me the King James Bible, you know. Exactly the way I got it. In its perfect form, Brother Butler.
My question is, what Brother Butler, what do you mean about the Bible tradition, what is the example of the
Bible numerology? Please state.
What do I know about Bible numerology? Oh, it takes about 2 seconds here. No, I know what basically all the numbers are supposed to mean, and I think there's something to it. I think where you get a list of 15, 20, 30, 40, and they're all meaning the same thing, you obviously can't just turn the thing aside and say there's no meaning to it, but I think you have to be careful because you can draw a lot of wild conclusions, and they've proven wrong some of those conclusions in the past, and you look like a fool. I think it can indicate things, but if you depend too heavily on numerology, you can get into trouble.
Brother Hoyer has for years studied this subject of numerology. I'm going to ask him to come to the platform and to give us just a brief digest of what he has found, especially in connection with the King James Version. Will you kindly come, Brother Hoyer? As I mentioned last night, I think it was, he has a Swedish accent. Don't hold that against him. Some of you have Southern accents. I don't hold that against you either.
You have a pen for a few minutes?
Who is the boss? How long should we give him?
10 minutes. May I mention here, brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, as to Brother mention here about the Waldensians, I'm a direct descendant of the Waldensians myself. My forebears escaped from northern France and wandered a bloody killing and burning of believers and fled to northern Europe. So my forebears were Waldensians. My mother's side, pure French. My father's side, German. It struck me very much as I heard this word Waldensians. They're also called Huguenots. From there quickly, let someone answer to us the question, why is it that today the Greek Orthodox Church in Greece, also in the United States, He used only the so-called received text. I bought a whole shipment of Greek New Testaments from Athens in Greece a few years ago. Quite a number of copies. And Dr. Fuller mentioned about the received Greek text. We are glad in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that through Dr. Brown and others, whom I met several times in the United States and also in England, they reprinted this last year. We used it exclusively for our labor in the text. We are glad for it. We're sending another order for 100 copies next week. The word numerology was mentioned here. We do not work in numerology. That's an occult science. Our labor in the Bible, in the text, the Hebrew and Greek text, is mathematics, not numerology. We're aware of a book came out by a fundamental person called numerology. We have nothing to do with numerology. No Kabbalah, none of those words. This is mathematics. We are very glad in the Lord for the received text that is issued by the Trinitarian Bible Society in London. By the way, Dr. Brown will be here early next year. The King James Version. Less than one third of those gentlemen or believers would agree with the king and archbishop at the time to include the apocryphal books in the so-called King James Version, authorized. They were much against that. Dr. Fuller and the brother here, they didn't want that to be included, but archbishop and a few saw to it that it became included into the work. Mr. Upp and myself will be, tomorrow evening, next day, will be in Toronto to personally meet a direct descendant of one of the translators of the King James Version. Mrs. Pressey in Toronto, you probably stay in their home. I shall this time find out more about the work. She has many books on the subject. A descendant of Andrews, one of the translators or revisers. May I be permitted to read some English here, one verse? May I? In English, that is. Now this is English, classic English that I'm reading. Can I read one verse? Minus Vadir, who is the Sund Maniga Halustua, Nesaidiku, it is Nitiswana Pit, Ikfar Ivile, Ivo, Irdumstur Girevian. Was that English? Did I read English or Hebrew? What does it sound like? Anglo-Saxon. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter and 2nd verse. That's how English has changed through the ages. The phenomena is that Anglo-Saxon is so identical to today's Icelandic Norwegian. It's also very identical to the old Dutch Netherlands. And the Frisian is Germanic, as you know. This is the Gospel of John in Anglo-Saxon. Now, the men who labored on the King James Version, as far as known, were mostly warm believers. And they produced a translation that is almost sounds like poetic Hebrew, the flow of the words. Like the young people sang here, they sang the song, and for the quartet, was it? From the Bible direct. Did you note this? The English. It just flows, perfect. They sound like one of the songs of David in Hebrew. That's Hebrew. Beautiful. And how wonderful. May the Lord bless you all in this conference. You're defending the scripture. The war is coming more and more fierce.
You're right.
And the work you're doing, it's been taught also that it's much done in silence to avoid criticism. We do not work on any Kabbalah. I'm just emphasizing this. No numerology. We're not working on numbers in the Bible. There's many numbers in the Bible, sure. But mathematics is something else. Now it's a phenomena. The order of the heavens, the movement of the star, equinoxes and all, are perfect. So is the word of God in the original Hebrew and Greek. You can't remove one letter in Hebrew and Greek to disturb the structure and the pattern mathematically or however it is. There are many here, pastors and teachers too, and you have a Christian school here, or a Christian school in this church. Wonderful. I praise the Lord to hear how you teach the young school children and the older to love the Word of God, the Bible, live and die for it. We have here much in mathematics. I have a complete list here of all printings since Erasmus up to 1874. It's available. May our Lord bless you all richly. We thank you for privilege to be here with you for 3 moments. May He bless you and protect you and strengthen you.
Thank you, sir. Brother Hoyer brought to me some copies of this Bible Mathematics that he's put out. Now, I'll be honest with you. I just can't make them out. I believe there may be some in this audience that can. And if you ask him, I think he'll give you a copy of that Bible Mathematics. And if you can make it out, will you come to me and explain it, please? Because I just can't. I'm sorry. Maybe you can do it.
The only thing I know about Bible numerology is this. Dr. Ruckman says, be careful of 13. He says over 80, said this, the King James Bible rules the world. And I believe that. And he said that whenever people leave the 13th floor off or something, there's a reason. Because 13th verse, 13th chapter, 13th anything in the Bible, over 80% of the time it has a bad connotation. So, there I've given you my great exposition on numerology. A la Dr. Ruckman, who will be in here tonight, not be in the evening service, will be in the services tomorrow. Well, it's been very informative and very helpful, and I appreciate you folks that are here. And we're going to have lunch in a few minutes for all of you. And we don't want you to leave, really. We want you to stay and have lunch with us. It's been very good. I can't guarantee anything any day. But if it's been like it has been, it'll be worth staying for.